Hello and welcome to another Inside the Studio. I'm Pete Heslop.
And I'm Dan Jones.
And we are Steadfast Collective. We are a digital product studio based in Southampton, and we are lifting the lid on what it's like to run a digital product studio. So Dan, what are we doing this week?
We're answering some questions that we got back from our last episode and from previous, and trying to sort of lift the lid on all of these questions that people have for us as an agency.
Great. So let's jump in. So most of these came from LinkedIn. So the first one was from Pete Nelson, and it was, has there ever been a time where there hasn't been much work coming in, and what do you do about it?
Yeah, so we had a quiet period last year.
We did.
It was quite a long one.
Yeah, it was through summer. Summer was a bit of a drought for us. We were finding that around the time of the first time we went to be leaving Brexit, people just weren't signing contracts.
Yeah.
We actually had clients tell us that they were waiting to see what happened by that. By the time it got round to the second Brexit leaving, people just kind of moved on with their lives and started spending money again. But there was a period where we had a few months where we essentially just didn't have new work coming in, still servicing current clients, but people just weren't signing on the line.
Yeah, I think what was really important is when we had that period, we went into sales mode and we really started speaking to as many people as we could, attending as many events as we could, and sort of setting up leads for this year and the end of last year. And I think that's really starting to pay off. We're now in the busiest period I think we've ever had.
Correct,
in the same sort of period of time as it was last year.
And there was two things about that really taught us about that is, the first was we switched our proposition. So we wanted to start winning larger projects, building web apps rather than websites. And they just take longer to land.
Yeah, they do.
So, you know, there's more involved. You're asking for more resource from the client, more effort to get the project there. So that was the first thing. I think there was just a bit of a lag on that. And secondly, I think I took my eye off the ball when it came to the pipeline. Mm. And that's now been and has to be a priority for me all the time. So it is, and this is a question further on, but it's going out, meeting people, making those connections, because if you take your foot off for a few months, you feel it down the line. And all of a sudden you're like, why be quiet? We didn't do any, you know, marketing per se in X month, and it's really hurt us further on.
Yeah, I mean, setting up those leads ahead of time is really important, and it can take 6 months, it can take sometimes up to a year to land a big project. Mm-hmm. They don't just land in the next month or so usually.
Yeah.
So getting that set up is vital to make sure that you've got work coming up in the future.
Yeah, it's good. Good question, Pete. Good question. So another question from Pete was, how do you maintain a healthy work-life balance for you and your employees? I'm going to let you give you your opinion, and then I'll give you my opinion.
Okay, great. So as an employee, I think Steadfast sets a really good sort of boundary around work time and personal time. We do 8 hours a day, well, 7.5 and half an hour lunch, and we do 5 days a week. That is our hours. If we want to come in slightly later than 9 in the morning, we can, all the way up to 10. If we want to come in earlier, we can, and we have flexible working time. But those hours are set, and Pete doesn't expect us to work any more than that. I mean, there are like projects every so often that come up that just have to get out the door, and that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the exception, not the rule. We always try and work to those 8 hours, and Pete pushes us really strongly to make sure that we're following those times and not overworking, which is really helpful because it's very easy to do and slip into.
Yeah, so that's good. So yeah, basically that's the case. Is I think as a business owner, I think it's different. I think the work-life balance is very much split. When, you know, the team are at home having their dinner, they may not be thinking about work. I probably am thinking about work. And so my work-life balance is very much split. So I might take out an hour in a day to go swimming with my daughter, but that evening I'm writing a proposal or something. So my time is a bit more mishmashed. But I don't have expectations of the team being on Slack or available past their working hours.
Yeah.
That's from our last video. That's why we use Slack.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to send a WhatsApp to everyone being like, just finish the proposal, can someone read over it? And it's like 10 PM. That to me isn't okay. And I don't set those expectations. You are right. There are times where we just have to crack down. But generally those times are agreed, like overtime is agreed in advance rather than imposed on the day.
Yeah.
So yeah,
exactly that.
That's how we do it. It's hard though. And I think it's a culture that has to be set from the top, not pushed from the employees up. It has to be a culture set from down to bottom.
Completely agree.
Michael asks, for one of my students at Brunel University, what is the best way to land an internship or a graduate job? You are perfect to answer this.
Yeah, so I think it really comes down to getting out and meeting people. Just sending a cold email doesn't do it. Get yourself along to things like events. Make sure that you're putting good work out and actually having an online portfolio, and make sure that you're having something to show that you're actually competent and you know what you're doing. Or if you're not, that you're learning and showing your journey of learning.
Yeah.
So I joined Steadfast through coming to an event that Pete had put on. And that was sort of key to making that connection.
Yeah.
And it worked really well.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. I would say as an employer, where I get emails from uni students all the time, I will look at your portfolio before I look at your CV every single time. Have a good one. I would personally rather you were talented in one thing rather than average across many, because then I can put you to use quite quickly on that one thing rather than having an average spread of everything. And also, don't be afraid to email, follow up, send post, whatever you need to get through to the agency you want to work with.
Yeah.
I am more likely to respond to a student if they actually know who we are and what we do.
Yeah.
So hi Pete, you know, you're at Steadfast Collective, I get that. And they put a bit more context into the email rather than hi business owner. Those emails tend to get ignored because I don't want to reply to a blanket email.
Sending like 5 really high quality emails where you've done your research on the agency and the team there is far more valuable and much more likely to get you a job than sending 100,000, even probably 10,000 just generic blanket emails. Mm-hmm. And it's likely going to get you a better job as well, because if you're really working out where you're applying to and looking at the company carefully, you'll find somewhere that's a much better place to work and might have the right culture in place. So I think it's really important to really spend your time and consider who you apply to and how you do that. I think that's pretty much what it comes down to.
That's it.
One more little note on that as well. Anything you do build, get it out, put it on social. It doesn't have to be amazing, but just showing the journey of learning, that goes a really long way.
Yep.
There's nothing worse than when we get sort of an applicant or someone who's messaged us who doesn't have anything to show. We can't see what they've done. We can't see what their current knowledge is. But if they have a portfolio, we can see and we can sort of judge that and either give feedback or get them in for a meeting.
Yeah. We're out in the sticks, so you have to get a bus to us or drive. And the amount of students I reply, and then after I've replied, they then work out they can't actually get to us for a conversation.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
Yeah,
at least look where we are before you apply. Next question from Ryan. In terms of percentage, how do you spend your marketing budget across active channels? That is a good question. We do have a marketing budget. It's fairly loose. It's not particularly large. I would say our marketing budget, if you don't include time from the team, is very small. If you do include time from the team, is quite large. So I would say our split is 50% of our marketing is probably effort, cost of resources goes into creative business, our event we run every month in Southampton. There's a bunch of costs there, like literal just direct costs. There's also a lot of effort that goes into running them, time to produce the event, to curate the event, to organize the speakers, etc. 20% goes into inside the studio. That's these videos. We have to sit down, research, plan our topics. Ryan then has to film, edit, produce the social clips. We then have to pick them out. We then have to make sure we've written a blog post to go with it. We then have to think about marketing around it. And that's a whole thing. 20% goes on. This is not really marketing, but a good chunk of my time is I'm in London, I'm in Guildford, I'm in Brighton, meeting people, and train costs, travel, parking, eating lunch in London, all those things are expensive and take a lot of time.
Yeah.
So I might be in London meeting 3-4 people for potential work or just getting to know them. That's a good chunk of my time in our marketing budget gone.
Yeah.
And then every year we do about two campaigns. Normally around our birthdays one, and then sometimes around Christmas we do another one. And these are planned campaigns where we will do press releases, we will do ads, we will give away something, we'll do something, and they're probably about the last 10%. So 50% on the events, 20% on these videos, 20% on meeting people and the cost that incurs, and 10% on fixed campaigns.
Yeah.
That's it.
Great. So the final question, which is from Dan De La Cruz, is how do you prioritize opportunities? Do you say yes to every good opportunity to meet someone, or do you have clear guidelines about what is a good opportunity and who to meet?
That's a good question. So that obviously links to the previous question, which is nice. And I think it all depends on the context. Sometimes,
yeah.
Generally for me, it's how interesting is that person?
Yeah.
How interesting is it? And also just logistics, like if they want to meet in London and I'm not in London that day, unless they're really compelling to meet, that's a big ask for me to go to London to meet one person for a coffee. So I try to stack meetings together. Do we have like guidelines about what's a good opportunity? Not really. I use my gut feeling.
I mean, good opportunity can be defined lots of ways. Like, yeah, there might be a project that could make us a lot of money, but it might be really awful. Like, it might be really difficult for us to work on. It might be something that we really don't agree with, or it might be something that we really agree with, and it's something like a charity, which is great, and we feel really strongly about that, but then the finances might not make sense. And it's looking at how can we bridge the gap there to make sure that we're finding the right opportunities for things that we want to work on for the right amount of money, basically.
And also that opportunity might not even be work. So I've been to London for trips to meet four or five people in a day. None of them were in the intention of directly winning work that day. They were just, let's meet each other, let's get to know each other, you're interesting, we work in either similar spaces or complementing spaces. So for me, I think it's just, does it make sense to be that person? It is expensive taking time out of the office. So it's weighing that up. And generally, it also just depends on how busy we are. Like if we're really busy, it's hard to squeeze things in, but I like to meet as many people as I can. I think for me, you never know who your next job's going to come through.
Yeah.
It might not be from them. It might be from them, their friend or something. So I like to try and meet as many people as I can, but it's...
Recently, we've had clients pass along from like people who we've known for quite a while that have never sent us work. And it's, as you said, it's just, it can come from any of those connections that you've made at any point in time. They might have a project that's been brewing for 4 years, maybe, that suddenly they've just decided they want to flip the switch on. And it's, you've been speaking to them for years, and then it's suddenly, oh, that would be great. Let's go with that. And it's just setting up those conversations for a future date.
And I guess my last point in this was, and I think I brought this up in a previous video, is if you're the one who wants to meet for the opportunity, you have to make it easy for that person.
Yeah.
If there was an agency owner in London who I really wanted to meet, I wouldn't expect them to meet me in Southampton. I'd expect to go to them. Where's easy to meet you? What time? What day? You know, do you want to meet at your office? Do you want to buy lunch outside? You have to make it easy for the person if you're the person who's trying to chasing the opportunity. And I think that's really key, because you need to make the friction as least as possible for them.
Yeah, I think that's really important. So I think that pretty much sums up all of the questions that we've had this week. If you've got any more, please reach out to us and we can get them answered in the future.
We'll be back next week. You can subscribe to this as a podcast on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch on YouTube. Just search Steadfast Collective. We'll be back next week and we'll see you then.
Cheers.
Cheers.